And Ilan Pape, one of the world's great historians, is with us to talk about his new book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. Anti-Zionism is not anti-Semitism. Discuss after the news.
The most effectual top cat, whose intellectual close friends get to call him DC, providing it's with dignity. Top cat, yeah. The indisputable leader of the gang. He's the boss, he's a bit, he's a championship, he's the most tip-top.
Welcome to the mother of all talk shows with me, George Galloway, between 8 and 10 o'clock every Saturday and Sunday night here on TalkSport, 1089 and 1053 AM, and on FM across Edinburgh, Fife and the Lothians, on Talk 107, and increasingly all across the world via the internet on our website at TalkSport.net. Tonight, you're going to want this number. 08704 20 20 20 is the number to call. 81089 is the number to text. 50 pence plus normal sending charges apply. Or you can email me for free through the aforementioned website at talksport.net. We're going to talk about three subjects tonight, though maybe more if you're of a mind. First of all, we're going to ask if David Cameron's wife is fair game. Now, I put that delicately, because a Labour MP called Sean Simon, you'll remember him, he was the man who shaved off his beard because it was tickling Tony Blair's backside, only to desert his erstwhile master in favour of his new master, Gordon Brown, when the going got rough for Tony. He made a spoof video last week, which has been roundly condemned and traduced because he made a joke about people being able to, how shall I put this, sleep with David Cameron's wife if it'll suit the Tory party's electoral fortunes. Now, I'm raising this tricky subject on the basis that it sparked a row which has been, I think, unfair and unfairly biased against Simon's comments and thereby against satire in general. Because it seems to me that David Cameron put his family into the public eye. In fact, no politician in recent memory has done more to put his family on his shoulders, literally as well as metaphorically, in order to gain the public's affection and votes. This is a man who boasted that he was breaking new ground by bringing the cameras into his own kitchen, who has thrice, to my knowledge, brought cameras into his own house, who is never seen without his comely wife by his side, who has his child on his shoulders in photo calls, and who is frequently citing the tragic health circumstances of his disabled child to make points about the National Health Service. So I'm asking tonight, isn't David Cameron's family fair game for satire in the sense that he brought them into politics in the first place? And on that subject, Tony Blair's wife has a fairly high profile in British political life as well. She's used the last 10 years to go around the world scooping up money, scooping up freebies, and she's done rather well, you might think. So I'm asking you, in our soundtrack contest this evening, to come up with a song title, a song that would sum up the Prime Ministerial consort career of Cherry Booth QC, Mrs. Cherry Blair. 81089 is the text at which you can have your say on that, and a TalkSport prize pack for the best entry. But right up top, and for me the most important man that we'll be talking about this evening, is a good friend of mine, a man I greatly respect, Ilan Pape, who, well, let me tell you what John Pilger thinks of him. John Pilger, one of Britain's greatest journalists, says this on the front of Ilan's new book. Ilan Pape is Israel's bravest, most principled, most incisive historian. He is an Israeli Jew who doesn't hide from the truth, who doesn't try to pull the wool over the eyes of the international public any more than he does the public in Israel. For telling the truth about how Israel came to be, its role in the region, and its terrible crimes against the people of Palestine, he has become a figure loved by a few, hated by many. That might sound familiar to you. Yours truly sometimes feels that way when he's speaking about the same subjects. And I wanted Ilan to be here once I knew that he was on tour with his new book, which is published by One World, and it's called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. I wanted him to be here when I knew that he was touring with this new book, because regular listeners will know there is a deliberate and concerted and organized effort on this show to shut me up on this subject, to get me taken off the air because of my views on this subject, but much more seriously than that, a concerted, organized effort to fool people about the truth, the reality of the Israel-Palestine conflict. So I personally am proud to welcome to the TalkSport studio Ilan Pappe and his missus, who are over here from Israel. They've been in Scotland, and they've got several dates which we'll talk about here in England, in London, promoting the book and talking about the Israel-Palestine conflict. Welcome, Ilan.
Thank you, George. It's
very, very happy to see you here, really.
So
it's
am
an,
I.
It's an honor to so see you here. Can you tell us, just for starters, summarize this great book of yours that's going to do brisk business, I'm sure about that, mm-hmm. because there's a real market in Britain for a greater understanding of these issues. And now that people know that you, the great academic, the fearless academic from Israel, has shone a light on this, they'll want to buy it. And let's hope it does your book sales some good. But tell us, in summary, what the book story is.
The book story is actually about the crime that Israel committed in 1948, which, according to the international legal understanding, is defined as a crime against humanity. This is ethnic cleansing. But the book doesn't only show how this crime was committed and how it was perpetrated, but also claims that, unfortunately, and I say it as an Israeli Jew, the idea of ethnically cleansing the Palestinians, who are the native population of Palestine, from their homeland is still the basis for the Jewish state, which means that the ethnic cleansing was started in 1948 but still continues until today. And the book argues that if you want to understand the Israeli policies in the Gaza Strip, the Israeli policies in Lebanon and in the West Bank, you have to understand that these are motivated by an ideology of ethnic cleansing, by creating an exclusive Jewish ethnic state in Palestine. This is something which has to be said openly, without any reservations, because it calls upon the international community not to allow these policies and these ideologies to continue to take place as the Palestinians continue to suffer. And this is the precondition for peace for both Jews and Palestinians in Israel and in Palestine.
Well, you see, you say that it's a truth that must be told, and I strongly agree with that, because it's a sort of, if you'll forgive the New Testament allusion, it's the original sin. It's the original sin which led to the birth of the state, after which all the other sins are consequent. That's, I think, the way that we have to look at it. It was the illegitimate way in which this state was created that has led to all the other illegitimate acts. And if you just deal with the acts singly or seriatim, without looking at the original sin, then you'll fail to understand the reality of this conflict. Essentially, the Zionist idea that there was a land without people, which could be given to a people without land, was a fundamental untruth. Palestine did have a people, and that people had to be driven out of Palestine in order for the new state to be born.
Absolutely, and I think, like the concept of the original sin, it does show that there were also some positive ideas for Zionism. If you distance them from the fate of the Palestinians. It was legitimate to seek a safe haven for Jews that were about to be exterminated in Europe. And it was the right of the Jews, as any other people, to seek self-determination, but not at the expense of Palestinians, and not by dispossessing the Palestinians. And in fact, this is a call also on the Israelis to understand that they will never be able to be a normal nation as long as they don't admit the dispossession of the Palestinians, and as long as they won't reconcile to the idea that the victims, and the Palestinian victims and the Israeli victimizers, would have to share a joint fate in the land of Palestine, rather than the Israelis continuing to looking for ways of completing the dispossession that they began in 48. But I fully agree. In fact, you cannot understand the conflict today if you don't understand what Israel had done in 1948. Every peace effort to this very day has ignored this fact, because yes, it was an American show,
yes,
as we know.
Yes. Well, you say that it has to be confronted. You'll tell us, no doubt, how many people in Israel are prepared to confront it. I'm here to tell you that very, very few of Israel's friends here in this country are prepared to accept it. Indeed, they phone here, no doubt some of them will tonight, with monotonous regularity, telling us that this is all a lie. They phone up and say that the Palestinians were not driven out of their land, that they left voluntarily. I've never quite understood that argument, because if that's true, well, let them go back. If someone left voluntarily, what conceivable reason could you have for denying them the right to go back? But of course, you know, and you sketch it in this book in great detail, you know that that just wasn't true, that the process of massacre and fear of massacre drove hundreds of thousands of Palestinians off their land, and they, of course, are denied the right to return, while any Jew anywhere in the world has a legally enshrined right of return to Israel, even if they've never been there, even if their great-great-great-great-grandfathers, times 10, have never been there. They have a legal right to go there, whilst a Palestinian who, it's admitted, was driven out of there, has no right to go back.
Absolutely, and I think it's very important to understand that if you go to the United Nations and even the State Department definition of ethnic cleansing, it doesn't matter how people were dispossessed. Even if they left so-called voluntarily and they were not allowed to return, they were victims of ethnic cleansing. And the United Nations defines ethnic cleansing as a crime against humanity, and it declares in general that the only solution for victims of ethnic cleansing, regardless of how they became refugees, is their return to their homes. And secondly, I'm afraid that actually quite a lot of Israeli historians nowadays, although they admit that ethnic cleansing took place, they justify it. They justify it because they think that this is the only way forward to solve the intractable problem of Palestine. And I think that calling a spade in this respect is the precondition for solving the conflict.
You're listening to George Galloway, the mother of all talk shows. 08704-2020 is the number to call. I'm talking with Ilan Pappe, the author of The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, the man that John Pilger described as Israel's bravest, most principled, most incisive historians, a man who is fearless in telling the truth about Palestine. Ilan, I'm going to take a call from Bell in Falkirk, who wants to talk about the issues we're dealing with tonight. Bell, thanks very much for phoning Talk Sport. Tell us your point of view.
I feel that there have been so many Palestinians killed in the last two or three weeks by Israelis, and nobody seems to be bothering. They just turn their head away and never think. All you're getting is a wee strip along the bottom of the television. 8 Palestinians being killed by Israelis, and nobody bothering. Nobody seems to care.
Why do you think that is, Bill?
Eh?
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I just wonder why is the world turning their head against and knowing that there's so many Palestinians being killed in the last two or three weeks.
Yep. Ilan, I was on a Sky News interview a few weeks ago. Became quite famous. It was, it's been seen by millions and millions of people around the world. It was only seen by a handful of people when it went out on the television on a Sunday morning on Sky. but it was an altercation between me and the Sky presenter who was in Jerusalem. It was during the Lebanon War, the latest, though I fear not the last Lebanon war. And I put to the woman who was there in Jerusalem for Sky that you know the name and the family history of every one of the Israeli soldiers that you say have been quote-unquote kidnapped. Can you tell me the name of a single Palestinian victim of the recent, just the last few weeks? I said, for example, the family that were killed on the beach in Gaza. Can you tell me the name of a single member of that family? And of course she was dumbstruck. It was inconceivable that she would know. Because, whether they know it or not, for Western commentators, the lives of Palestinians are worth less than the lives of Israelis, still less than the lives of British or American citizens. Is that common also in Israel?
Absolutely. I'm afraid this is the same situation in Israeli media coverage. It's dehumanization of the Palestinian is part of the issue. And I think that we should really turn to alternative media sometime in order to get a better picture of what goes on and who are the Palestinians that are being victimized. But I want to add something to what Bell said. I fully agree with her point. A few weeks ago, I wrote an article that called the Israeli policies in Gaza genocidal. And I hesitated. I know the genocide is a very strong word.
Yes.
But I think it shows it's the explanation for what Bell was asking about. The Israelis' actions against the Palestinians are daily. It doesn't happen in one go. It's not one tsunami. It's not a disastrous event of one day or one week. It goes along throughout the years, and you lose the attention of the public in Britain. And therefore, you have every now and then to show the cumulative effect of these policies and to understand that they are really harsh, even if they are there on a smaller scale on a daily basis. You look at 2005 and you say, my God, how many Palestinians have been mercilessly killed by the Israelis, how many houses have been demolished, how much land was expropriated. And this is just in the last year, not to mention the last 6 years, and so on.
This is George Galloway, the mother of all talk shows, talking to Ilan Pape, the Israeli historian, on his new book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. More in a minute.
George Galloway on Talk Sport.
Every Saturday and Sunday night between 8 and 10 o'clock, and this coming week on Tuesday between 10 and 1, standing in for the Far From John Gaunt. This is George Galloway talking to Ilan Pape, whose new book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, bears the legend from the legend John Pilger that Ilan Pape is Israel's bravest, most principled, most incisive historian. And his book is a blinder, I'll tell you. It's an absolutely must-read for anyone interested in understanding the core problem between the West and the East, the core problem in the Middle East, the Israel-Palestine conflict. Let's go to Philip in London, who has a point of view, and let's hear what it is. Philip, thanks for phoning Talk Sport.
Thank you for having me, George, and thank you, Mr. Pape.
Hello. Good evening, Philip.
Hi. Well, there are so many subjects and people involved in this discussion. I don't really know where to begin, apart from maybe mentioning that Norman Finkelstein had criticized the Anti-Defamation League on the point of whether anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And he said, well, they're the same people that are supported by AIPAC and the...
AIPAC is the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, yeah?
Yeah, and they gave an award to Silvio Berlusconi, famously, simply because he supported Israel. I would like to know what kind of solution activists can have in order to get back at them. May I make a suggestion?
Go ahead, Philip.
Well, seeing as Warren Buffett has just put $4 billion conflict, the war with Lebanon, I suggest that we target Coca-Cola.
For a boycott, you mean? Okay. I think we've lost Philip. Let's go to Ian in Surbiton. Ian.
Evening, George.
Fire away.
Two points, George. You said earlier on that you thought people were trying to get you out of Talk Sport because you were too pro-Palestinian.
Well, there's hundreds of letters to the radio authority to prove it, Ian.
Well, the fact is, if that was the case, right, why did they get rid of a so-called pro-Zionist, pro-American, pro-Jewin like Charlie Wolfe? If he had been there tonight, you would have had a ding-dong of a battle, and you know it, George, and it would have been wonderful entertainment for everybody. And
Ian, it would have been the most unbalanced battle since Rocky Marciano flattened Don Coquel way back in the 1950s. I'm afraid Charlie Wolfe can't stand up to the company we've got here tonight.
Well, maybe not, but everybody should be given a chance. But I would like to ask the...
Well, you stand in for him, Ian. You stand in for Charlie. Come on.
Well, I'm not a Zionist, for a start. But I'll ask the question. Are the Zionists linked to the far-right American Christians who want to fulfill biblical prophecies? Does he believe in that?
Yes, Ian. I think that part of the pro-Zionist alliance in America are the Christian Zionists. As you know, conservatively estimated being 50 to 60 million members. And I think it is the pro-Zionist lobby alliance with the Zionist Christians that really directs American policy in the last 10 or 15 years into an unconditional support of Israel. And in fact, this is one of the problems for anyone who wants to bring about peace and reconciliation in Palestine, is this biased American position, this dishonest brokery of the Americans. And I think Christian Zionism, or as you called it, far-right Christianity, has a lot to do with it, apart from other factors that impact American policy in the Middle East as a whole.
Would you think it would be an advantage for everybody in the long term if the actual Muslims themselves could actually get round to find themselves someone that could actually lead them in like the form of a caliph, like a unified figure who could actually stand up to say, like people like the President of the United States and other people, and say, I am the leader, you will talk to me, you go through me to get any settlement? Because at the moment it seems that you have the corrupt Saudis, you have the Shia, we have loads of Islamic extremists, and they're going to come into conflict with the extreme Zionists and the Americans in the long run, and nothing's going to happen except bloodshed.
By the way, and just before Ilan answers that, a very considerable number of Palestinians are Christians, and especially in the area in the north of Israel where Ilan lives, in Haifa and the places that he works in the Galilee and so on, many Palestinians are Christians. So this is not, strictly speaking, a Muslim issue, but I've no doubt he has a point to make on it.
Right. Ian, may I recommend a book to you? It's not an easy book to read, but it was written by a great Palestinian, Edward Said, and it's called Orientalism. And one of the main points the late Edward Said is making is that you cannot take 1 billion of Muslims and talk about them as if they are one group. There are a lot of varieties of Islam and Muslims, and as you would not say that the Christians should have one leader nowadays, you wouldn't talk about one leader for the Muslims. These are human beings as Christians and Jews are, and they have the same follies and advantages of any other community. So I think we should be serious about it, and we should understand that in the question of Palestine, we have Muslims victimized by a Jewish state. This is the problem in black and white. I mean, there's no other way of explaining it. And this oppression has to come to an end. And the other questions you have brought up are part of the global agenda, and we'll face them all here or there. But first of all, let us bring an end to the continued oppression and victimization of the Palestinians by Zionism and later by Israel.
This is George Galloway, the mother of all talk shows. 08704-202020 is the number to call. Or you can text me on 81089 at 50 pence plus normal sending charges. Or you can email me for free through the website at talksport.net. I'm talking with Ilan Pappe, Israel's bravest, most incisive historian, about his new book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. We've got Victor in London on the line. Victor, thanks for phoning TalkSport. Good evening.
And to your colleague there.
Yes, Ilan Pappe is his name, yes.
Yes, just a couple of... I know it's not Ali or Mohammed, you've got somebody, you've got an ally there. Just a couple of things he can answer for me, and I'm really serious about it. When he said that the Palestinians had no options and the Israelis were driving out, what was wrong with the Camp David affair a few years ago? Didn't they want to accept it?
Yes, Victor. The Camp David was not a fair deal for the Palestinians. If you look at the map of Palestine and Israel, you would see that the Camp David offered the Palestinian less than 20% of their homeland, and in this 20% they were offered something like two or three Bantustans and not a proper independent state. Moreover, the Camp David Accord did not offer any solution for the victims of the ethnic cleansing, the Palestinian refugees. It did not recognize the right of the Palestinians of return, which is recognized by the United Nations. In short, the Oslo Accord turned out to be an Israeli search for a substitute for the occupation and not a genuine solution for the Palestine problem.
What do you say, Victor?
One other thing, George, one other question. I'm only going by the history that I know of. Is it not a fact that Jordan, threw out or excluded a lot of Palestinians from their borders at one time or other and sent them over to Palestine or to Israel?
It's partly true. I mean, there was a purge of Palestinians from Jordan in 1970, but to Lebanon, not to Israel.
Didn't go to Israel?
No, they didn't go to Israel. And it's true that some of the Arab regimes are also didn't play the role they should have played and protect the rights of the Palestinians.
Victor, what do you say?
I say thank you for educating me on that.
Thank you for being willing to be educated. Let me read some of these emails that are flooding in now. No time for quality control. Let's read them because Ilan has to get going soon. Wasim in Bradford. George, great show. Quick question. What's the problem? Israel needs to get out of the occupied territories. It's as simple as that. Well, it's simply stated, Wasim. It's certainly not simple to bring it about. What absolute sense you make, George. You're a shining light in a very dark world. Keep up your good work. Lee from Manchester. Great show. Thanks for that, Lee. You only like quisling Jews like him. He forgets it was the Arabs said they would exterminate the Jewish population after rejection of partition of Eretz Yisrael. They lost a war. They started. As many Jews left Arab countries after persecution or expulsion. They have no right to return. Israel has enough Arabs already. If you and Pilger like this man, he must be a quisling, says Craig in Birmingham. Now there, Ilan, in five lines, is distilled pure pro-Israel hatred. I could not have designed this email to include more smears, more insults, and more falsification in it. Let's hear what you think of that one.
Yeah, I really hope the person who wrote this would read my book, because I think for the first time you have a book that explains what the Arab armies were trying to do in 1948, which was to stop the ethnic cleansing from being completed. They came too late and with too little forces, and that's why the ethnic cleansing took place. Secondly, anyone who says that Israel has too many Arabs in it is a racist.
Yeah.
Because a state should have as many people as it wants, as can live in it, regardless of their race, religion, or origin. And that's what we are striving for, those of us who believe in peace, both in Israel and in Palestine.
There are one or two racists still unpersuaded, but remarkably, this show is beginning to persuade people of the truth of this conflict, and your presence here tonight is a very, very important asset for that. But here's Frank in North London. What a load of... I've just returned from a two-week visit to Israel. Had at least twice a Muslim taxi driver. Both strongly told me that as they are law-abiding citizens, they have a great democratic life, says Frank in North London. We'll come back to that, Ilan, in a minute. Hi, George. Great topic yet again. Don't think it will get him votes, as David Cameron charges for the services he and the good lady provides. Thanks, William. Ron in Canary Wharf. Great, great show, George. God bless you, pal. Thanks, Ron. David from Swansea says, I bet you don't read this out. Well, David, wrong again. George, why don't you move to the Middle East and take all the Muslims and Jews with you? Ha! Here we've got a racist who hates Muslims and Jews. God's chosen people, the white Anglo-Saxon race, should be left in peace. There you are. The Jews thought they were the chosen people. Lots of people have thought they were the chosen people, but David from Swansea tells us it's the white Anglo-Saxon race. Brian texts, George, how about a talk on atheism? It's a good point, Brian. I think we might do that. I'm just racing through these. Vincent says, George, you are anti-Jewish and a fool who should not be allowed to sell your propaganda. And your guest is a traitor to his own people. You see, I'm anti-Jewish, even though you're my friend and you're a Jew. You're a Jew, so you can't be anti-Jewish. You're a traitor. What do you say to these things?
Yes, I think that I'm one of the people, and there are many like me, more and more like me, who really, in the name of Judaism, criticize what Israel is doing. Not against Judaism. In fact, because of my Jewish identity, because of the history of my family who survived the Holocaust in Germany, I feel obliged as a Jew to stand alongside the Palestinians against the oppressive policies of Israel. So it's what we, George, you and I are doing, a far cry from anti-Semitism. In fact, is a very Jewish, as it is a very universal mission that we have taken upon ourselves.
Anti-Semitism is racism. Indeed, it's the foulest strain of racism because it fueled the systematic, industrialized, genocidal mass murder of 6 million Jews in Europe in the Second World War. The idea that somebody like me, who's spent nearly 40 years in left-wing politics, could be a racist is utterly, utterly absurd. But yet we still get fools like that who reach for that weapon to brand anyone who speaks against the policies of Israel as an anti-Semite and therefore a racist. But I think that's a diminishing currency. It's a currency whose value is diminishing. But it's also dangerous, of course, because what it means, this false synonym of Jewish and Zionism is dangerous because the more people hate Zionism, if we're being told by these false friends of the Jewish people that actually Zionism is the same thing as Judaism, then will encourage anti-Semitism. What do you say about Frank in North London, who was lucky enough to get a Muslim taxi driver a couple of times in his holiday in Israel? He says that they're all having a great time. What do you say about that? Well,
either they were really afraid of him, or they were not Muslims. I think very few Muslims in Israel would say that they're having a great time. But of course there is a difference between what a Palestinian citizen in Israel goes through and a Palestinian under occupation.
Yes.
So he may have met one or two relatively satisfied ones, but basically we have a real a problem with regards to the Israeli policies towards the Palestinians, wherever they are.
Well, let me send you off to your London hotel with this one. Okay. George, I don't get offended by Muslim women wearing veils. I feel repulsed by it. They should all be made to pray for Ariel Sharon. The greatest spectacle in the world is watching Israeli F-16 fighter planes take off. Instead of listening to imams preaching hatred against Israel, these stupid, misguided, veiled followers of Allah should be made to paint pictures of the Israeli flag and sing the Hatikva. Long live Shoal Mofaz. So you thought it was only in Israel that there were fanatics like that, but some of them are in London and listening to this show. But I swear to you, I've been involved this question since 1975, so 31 years. There are more people in Britain today, far, far more, who know the truth about the origins of this conflict. And if you don't know the origins, you have no chance at all of finding any kind of solution. There are far more people in Britain now know the truth than at any time, and I think around the world that's true as well. So if you ever feel beleaguered and lonely in the region of Haifa by that kind of hate mail, please know that you have the respect and the love of millions of people around the world who see you and the relatively small number of Israeli Jews like you as the bravest of the brave, the people who in the very front line are standing up for justice, standing up for truth. It's been an absolute honor and privilege to have you on my show tonight. Your book, Ilan Pappe, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, published by One World Publisher in all good bookshops, deserves to be read by millions of people in Britain, and I hope that it will. Thank you very much indeed for coming into the show. Just say a few more words before you go.
Thank you very much, George, and I really hope people would read it and understand that this is a desperate call, almost for the last moment, for a solution in Palestine. This is not just an indictment of Israel and Zionism. This is the way to understand why so much bloodshed is still being spilled in the Middle East and in Palestine in particular, and that we have to call a spade in order to allow both Palestinians and Jews to live in peace together in the Holy Land of Palestine for all of us.
Ilan, the best tribute I can pay you is that not a single one of Israel's best friends who normally phone this show had the guts to phone tonight to confront you. They're ready to fight me, but they know that they're up against Rocky Marciano when they come up against you. Thank you very much. I hope you and your missus have a good time in London and that your trip goes very well.
Thank you very much for having me.
This is George Galloway, the mother of all talk shows.